This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:21 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Chuang and Chen Li. In the meantime, we're turning our attention to the utility sector. Now, this sector isn't normally known for a flurry of news flow, but there have been several in the past week. So 2 days ago, the High Court allowed the Naga National Berhad's judicial review application to set aside the Inland Revenue Board's 1.8 billion ringgit tax assessment for the year 2018. The judge agreed that TNB is a manufacturer and was entitled to claim reinvestment allowance on its capex for expanding, modernizing and automating its business.
This was followed by YTL Power International Berhad announcing that the group disposed of its entire 33.5% stake in Australia Electronet for 3.5 billion ringgit in order to realize gains from a mature investment as well as to optimize the balance of assets. For some background, Electronet operates the high voltage electricity transmission system throughout South Australia under a 200-year lease.
And of course, we must mention sustainability. So the country's target of renewable energy is expected to grow to 20% of the generation mix within the next 4 years. So the question is, how is Tanaga National going to be impacted and how is the sector currently performing?
So for an outlook on this, we speak to Chong Lilan, analyst at UOB Kay Hian. Lilan, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us today. Coal and gas prices have been on a tear recently, but does this impact the Naga negatively despite the incentive-based framework and the current electricity tariff schedule for all customers in Peninsula Malaysia?
So the very essence of incentive-based regulation and ICPT, which is imbalanced cost pass-through, means that Tenaga will be neutral in terms of cash flow in the face of global fluctuations in both coal as well as gas prices. Typically, higher fuel costs incurred by Tenaga will either be passed on to end users or the government will actually compensate Tenaga for the higher coal or gas costs incurred to generate the electricity. So for example, in the past 6 months, second half of last year, Tenaga actually incurred an excess of 1.67 billion in fuel costs. And this is due to higher coal prices towards the second half of last year. Consequently, the government actually announced that domestic household users will continue to enjoy the current electricity tariff. A 2 cent rebate will be given to domestic users for the period of February to June of 2022. In return, the government will actually pay a compensation to Tenaga for the higher fuel costs incurred, and that total compensation amounted to 715 million. And this money is to be taken out of Kui Fund, which is the Kumpulan Wang Industry Electric Funds that sits with the government / regulator. Separately, the industrial and commercial segment will then have to absorb higher electricity tariff from February to June of this year, amounting to 3.7 cents. In my calculation, that is just slightly under 10% increase in electricity tariff as a result of the higher coal prices. So you can see that the government did two things. Firstly, they kept domestic household tariff stable, but they compensated Tenaga, and then the balance of higher coal prices is then being transferred to the other two segments.
Renewable energy is a key initiative of Tenaga, but is it a significant contributor to earnings and will it ever compensate for the revenue generated by the fossil fuel power plants?
Unfortunately, it is not a significant earning contributor to Tenaga. We note that Tenaga is increasing their renewable energy generation capacity over time, and that's good. But it is important to also understand that RE projects are fairly recent addition to Tenaga's generation capacity portfolio. So the older plants that are generating profits are typically coming from the conventional fuel, i.e. gas and coal. So in terms of earnings contribution, not significant. Under Tenaga's ESG roadmap, there is an ambition to add up to 8,300 megawatts of renewable energy by 2025. Currently, they're doing about 3,400 megawatts. So there is an ambition to grow that RE portfolio. In addition, under their ESG roadmap, Tenaga aims to reduce coal generation capacity capacity by 50% by 2035 and practically no cogeneration by 2050. How they're going to achieve this is by not building new coal-fired power plants in Peninsula Malaysia.
Yes, and what is your call then for the utility sector? Do you have any top picks?
So we have a market weight call on the sector in the absence of any top pick for the Malaysian utility sector. We do have a whole call on Tenaga as we await clarity from the regulator in terms of what's the next regulatory returns for RP3. So that's regulatory period 3, which starts February of this year.
Lilan, since we have you on the line, we shift our attention to the telco sector, which is also under your coverage. What has the competitive environment been like? Is there a price war for market share or price stability?
So at this juncture, we are observing a relatively rational, competitive landscape in the market. Naturally, we do see some fairly attractive prepaid offers out there, but nothing that is out of the ordinary, okay? Also, in the recent DG's fourth quarter, the analyst briefing, management actually started guiding for service revenue growth for 2022. And this is coming off 5-6 years of service revenue declined in the past 5-6 years. And we expect this to be driven by rational competition within the postpaid segment, B2B business, enterprise business solutions, and also a take-up in terms of fiber business. Of course, this will all be somewhat will be partly offset by competition in the prepaid segment where, you know, customer churn will be a bit higher.
Lilian, currently, what is your call for regional telcos? What are your top picks and why?
We have a market weight call on the telco sector, but we do have interesting top picks for Malaysia. We like the fixed line players, i.e. Telecom Malaysia and Time.com. Both players will continue to benefit from fibre rollout within Peninsula Malaysia and Sabah and Sarawak under the government's Jendela initiative. What this means is that it will lead to faster than expected subscriber growth for both Time as well as Telecom Malaysia, more so for Telecom Malaysia. In addition, we also like Axiata and Singtel in Singapore. Both companies will benefit from economic reopening activities within Southeast Asia. And, you know, there's always a positive news flow in terms of potential digital banking license means for Singtel, Grab or Axiata RHB. In Malaysia, and of course, naturally, given the presence in Indonesia, Thailand, there's always that talk of, you know, potentially growing their digital banking license regionally.
Lilan, thanks very much for speaking with us this morning. That was Chong Lilan, analyst at UOB Kay Hian, talking to us about the outlook for the utility and telco sector.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.